Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. I'm down here in Sarasota, Florida, and we are enjoying Shining Light Church with pastors Stephen and Jennifer Slabach here in Sarasota. What a wonderful place. Temperature is just absolutely amazing. What a beautiful day that we're having. And so you can see that I'm in a conference room right now, but that doesn't matter. We're going to go ahead and just give you our best right here because we want to continue on with these videos. So I'm very excited about the next few moments that we have together. And I know that it's going to be beneficial for all of us as we get back into discovering some of the things about knowing how that in our salvation, God has deposited in us like DNA. In other words, like as though it's a part of how we are made to actually know Him, to hear Him, and to follow Him. And so I want to start off again, as we always do, with Matthew 11, 27 to 30, where Jesus resumes talking, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique father and son operation coming out of father and son intimacies. No one knows the Father the way the Son does, nor the Son the way the Father does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Of course, it's hard for me to quote that without just saying that isn't it wonderful that in each phrase that we're directed by the Lord to make sure that we enjoy Him, that we spend time with Him, that we walk with Him, that we work with Him, that we keep company with Him, that we get away with Him. Isn't it interesting how that if bad company corrupts good morals, hanging out with Jesus would literally change your morals? I'm telling you, this is real Christianity, where God is real to you and everything about Him is real. That's why when we go to scriptures, we're always wanting to bring out of scripture what will help you to connect with Him in a greater degree. So as we were talking about last week, we went over there to John chapter 10, where the first five verses talk about that He is our shepherd and we are His sheep. And the shepherd takes care of the sheep, and the sheep hear Him, and they know Him, and they follow Him. But the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. Now, I trust that you got a hold of that, and we encouraged you, like homework, just to go over that over and over again, because you've got to get it down in your heart and realize. And of course, that doesn't take long. It just means be saturated with the thought until you're so ready to think different that you respond differently. And that's exactly what the renewing of the mind is. You begin to change the way that you see things until your perspective causes you with feelings and emotions toward the Lord to respond to Him as though you actually know Him. Instead of in the midst of a crisis throwing up your hands and saying, Lord, what are we going to do? Isn't it wonderful to be able to change the way you see things that when a crisis comes, immediately you can say, Lord, I thank you. I do know what to do because I see you, I hear you, and I follow you. I am a spirit. God is a spirit. I'm connected to Him through the Spirit. And as a result, thank God, my life begins to take on the flavor and the essence of what Jesus walked in, which is constant manifestations of God. Well, these are our grace stories. And right away, I'll just share with you another grace story as we get going here. And of course, this one here has to do with golfing. I know that that may bore some of you, but like I've said before, I have experienced so many little nuances while having the opportunity to golf, while I'm out on the road. And of course, instead of staying in the hotel all day, I'll go out real early in the morning. I'll be done by 12, meet the pastors for lunch, and have all afternoon just to wait on the Lord and get refreshed and be ready for a service. And so we were at in New Hampshire and up in the Goffstown area with good friends of ours, Pastor Joe and Robin Johnsick. And Joe and I went out to golf. And of course, that day they had a big tournament. And so we were going to go out and just get in 9 holes. Well, the moment we got there, immediately when they saw us, the guy that was a starter said, hey, if you guys want to get out right now, it's wide open. Well, there you go. That's the kind of stuff that happens all the time. And so we were walking that day, which means I'm carrying my back, and he had his golf bag on a little cart, so he was pushing it. And we walked 9 holes, had an absolute glorious time just being out there together. And when we got done, we had gotten done so quickly that the guy looked at us and said, "You can head right over to the 10th tee because you guys have done so well, you're gonna beat the tournament." So we were able to play 18 holes, enjoy ourselves immensely, and it's like we were all by ourselves. Now, it's not like I'm against hooking up with people and playing with other folks, but when you travel so much and give out so much, for me, being on the golf course and being able to be in that environment where no one's around and we're just enjoying ourselves at a nice, quick pace, not taking all day, but no pressure with people around us, I can't tell you how relaxing and good for the soul that is. And I'm telling you, my Father God does that for me all the time. Now, that's grace. That's a grace story. Why? The more you begin to include God into what you're doing and let Him be involved, the more those kind of nuances, coincidences, lucky days become your norm. And the fun part of it is it just continues to make God more and more real. You know, if Enoch found God by faith, it says, Enoch pleased God, for he believed that God is and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And he said, "Lord, I'm going to find you, and when I do, I know you're going to bless me." And by faith, he found God. Then every one of these little grace stories in your life begins to build your confidence in God for Him to become more and more real. So now we're jumping right back into some of the things that we love here in the scriptures. Over in John chapter 14, verse 15, as I begin to read right there, look at what it says. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." The word abide means to stay continually connected. We've said in the past, and we'll say it again, that the word connection means 3 things. Number 1, time. Tangibility, number 2, and number 3, shared experiences. So you see, you've got to have time with somebody, and the time has to be tangible enough for you to enjoy interaction where there's testimonies. And everything you say and everything you do can be a testimony with the one that you're with. So you might say, "I was with Joe that day, Pastor Joe, and we're out there having a wonderful time talking about the things of God, talking about the anointing, and then just talking about life in general, just having a good time." I don't know how many times we said, "This is a perfect day. Oh my goodness, isn't this wonderful?" Yes, because those are the kind of testimonies that come out of time and tangibility. And if you'll use that and bring your relationship over into God, why is it that we hardly have any testimonies of our time with the Lord unless we're not paying attention to the idea that He is with us? And the more time you pay attention to Him being with you, the more real He will become. Look at these verses. He stays continually connected to us. And it says the Spirit of truth. Now, the Spirit of truth is the spirit of reality. That's what truth means. It means reality. He is the Holy Spirit who will show you and open up your eyes, your heart, and your mind to the reality of God in the spiritual world instead of your physical eyes looking only at the reality of this world. Come on, if anything in this world is contrary to what God has said is truth, then it is what I call a non-reality. Someone may say, "Well, you know, that tumor that they say is in your body is sticking out of your chest. We know that it's actually real." Well, it's real to a degree. The degree is it's real to this world, but it's not more real than Jesus having taken that infirmity and having destroyed that tumor through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that is why when you hearken yourself, or in other words, you bind yourself to God's truth, you let the Holy Ghost reveal to you that it is not the truth, it is not permanent, it's very temporary, and that God by his grace has given you victory, that's what makes those things disappear. And once it's gone, now ask yourself the question, what really is reality? And the reality is that tumor is not there. The doctor said, "We don't know where it went. This is a miracle." which really and truly to God, it's just being heavenly minded and God doing what is so normal up there, but down here, it looks supernatural or miraculous. Come on, let's go a little further. The spirit of reality or truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know, there's something, we'll do this later on, but I'll throw in these little thoughts. If you find yourself saying, I don't see him and I don't know him, then that means that the world is very real to you. Because it says here, the world cannot receive him. It doesn't see him or know him. So to the degree that you don't see him and know him, that'll show you that your perspective is very worldly or of this world conscious, of the flesh conscious, and not of the spirit conscious. It's really an indicator. So what do you do if your indicator says, I am all the way over on the side of the flesh? Well, we've shared some of this before, but we'll share it again, and we'll share it again later on as well. If you lined up two train tracks, one each side the other, and one you call the train tracks of the spirit, and the other you call the train tracks of the flesh. And these are old-fashioned trains where you need to put wood into that big furnace and build up heat, which brings combustion and will cause those trains to actually move down the track. Well, what train are you chucking wood into? Come on, you know what I'm saying here. If you're putting all day long wood into the train of your flesh and the world, where that's where you participate, that's what's real to you. When trouble comes, you look to your own ability and you look to the flesh. If that's where you're going, then most likely the train of your flesh is screaming down the track. While once a week you go to church, or once a day you pray a little prayer over your food, and your train of the spirit kind of chugga chugga chug, but doesn't really go anywhere. This is where we begin to change the way we see things. When we say things like, the way you do life is the way you'll do faith. And if your faith isn't working, it goes back to the way you do life. Those statements are to arrest you to the idea that I actually have a greater perception for the flesh than I do for the spirit. And this is what we're going to change. Step by step, awareness of God by awareness of God, little choice after little choice. No. This is not a works program covered up in a different package. This is your heart loving God so much, you want to know him more. And the more you want to know him and the more real he becomes to your thought and to your heart, the more your own soul will seek out to find him. And these are the kind of things that begin to happen. Your heart loves him so much, you want to continue to just build on that relationship where you make little choices of the spirit. I know our time is slipping away, but let me get to this. It says the world doesn't see him or know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. And the Amplified says, because the world does not see him or know or recognize him, but you know and recognize him, for he lives constantly with you and in you. Folks, these are not statements for you to just get happy about. These are statements for you to grab a hold of as though from this moment on, this is exactly how I do life. I see him, I know him, I recognize him, he is living in me, and he is real to me, and I'll never have another day in my life where I go without sensing the presence and hearing the voice of God and building on that foundation until God is so real to me that he's more real than the world around me. Well, listen to this right here in the 19th to 20th verse. It says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, Jesus talking, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. And at that day, you will know that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Well, that's a pretty powerful thought, is it not? Well, let's see this for just a moment in the Message translation. And you can see that I'm looking at my tablet here and just turning for a second to these wonderful thoughts. It goes on to say this, I will not leave you orphaned in the Message Bible. I'm coming back, and in just a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you're going to see me because I am alive and you're about to come alive. Listen, when you come alive is your born-again experience where you accept Christ as your Savior. He removes you from darkness, places you in the kingdom of His love and in His light, and it says, at that moment, you come alive. And it goes on to say, at that moment, you will know absolutely that I am in you and you are in me and we are in the Father. The word know means you will experience in the moment of your salvation that you are no longer alone, that God is your Father, and the realness of God who has come to live in you and you living in Him. And now I want to give you the last of that verse, and I realize 15 minutes have actually gone by, which is crazy that the time goes so fast. But the Amplified says of the last part here in verse 21, and it says that Jesus said, I will show and reveal and manifest myself to you. I will let myself be clearly seen by you and will make myself real to you. And we're going to pick up right here the very next time because I can't wait to continue to just mull over these thoughts until your mind and your heart and your soul reaches out to the realness of God and you begin to know that it is so. Well, we'll see you next time. So if you'd like to see us more often, you can go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us. You can go to our YouTube channel, which is Adventures in Grace, and subscribe. Or you can go to jimhockaday.com, which is our website, and you'll see all kinds of wonderful things on the website. Definitely send in your grace stories of how you're seeing God in your life. We'll read those so people can be encouraged with the multiplicity of how God works with each individual in their own individual way. We'll see you next time. God bless you.